The book on Who Am I continues. This is the second compact disc of multiple compact discs, audiobook on by Gnani Purush Akram Vignani Dada Shri. The book has been edited by Dr. Niruben Amin, who continues the work of the Akram Vignani. So the Dada Shri says, "Is there a God?" "Yes, there is a God." Page 14. This book, Who Am I? "Yes, there is a God. No, there is God, no doubt about it, and He is very close to you. Why then are you searching elsewhere or outside? To find God, it is only possible if someone shows you the path and opens the door for you. The door has been shut so tight that it is impossible for you to open that door to you. To the Lord within you on your own. Only a person who is self-realized, a Gnani Purush, can show you the path and open this door for you and make you realize the Lord within you, the God within you." Next subheading, you are bound by your own mistakes. "Who is God?" asked Dada Shri. "Your real self, the absolute I within, is God. Beyond this, there is no other God or superior above you or over you. No father figure to rule over you. You are totally independent. There is no one that can hurt or hinder you. The only thing that can hurt or hinder you are your own mistakes. You become subordinate to your own mistakes. Not only do you have no superior, but furthermore, nobody can bother or interfere with you. There are innumerable life forms, but none of them ever interfere with you, and those that do is the result of your own mistakes. You have previously caused interference in previous lives and therefore are now facing the consequences of your actions. I see this in my own Gnan vision, my enlightened vision. I am telling you this as I see it." The following two sentences that I utter guarantees man his liberation. These are: "You have no boss in this world. Your boss is your blunder and your mistakes. In the absence of these two, you are the Supreme Lord. Nobody ever," and the second sentence is, "Nobody ever interferes with you. This world is such that no living entity can ever interfere with another living entity. No jiva can ever interfere with another jiva." These two sentences will resolve all your conflicts and bring peace and harmony to you. The next chapter of this book is, "Who is the doer in universe?" Who is the doer in universe? Now the next subheading of this is, "The real nature of the doer in this world." Dada Shri says, "Ignorance, otherwise known as agnan. Gnan is knowledge. G-N-A-N is knowledge. And agnan is ignorance. Gnan is knowledge of the self, and agnan is lack of knowledge of the self. Ignorance of reality and facts result in all these obscurities, confusions, and puzzles. All these guchos or tangles." Guchos is the Gujarati word. "Hence, do you now wish to know about things that are already known to this world? Or do you know that which is not already known? That is, the facts beyond what is known." Dada Shri asks, "What is this world all about? How did it come into existence? Who is the creator? Is there a creator? What is our relationship with everybody in this world? How should we deal with ourselves? How does business occur? Am I the doer of anything, or is there another doer? Is it not important to know all these answers? Yes, Dada. Dada Shri then goes on to say, therefore, let us talk about what needs to be known first. Who do you think created this world? Who do you think made such a complex, entangled, messy world? What is your opinion? What is your opinion about this? Questioner replies, only God must have made it. Dada Shri, then why are there so many worries and miseries in this world? Everyone has worries. Dada Shri, questioner replies, that's because everyone does worry. Dada Shri then asks, yes, but if God made this world, then why did he make it full of worries? Is he guilty of creating such miseries that we should have? If he is guilty of creating such miseries, then we should have him arrested. In reality, says Dada Shri, God is not the creator of this world at all. All this is only scientific circumstantial evidence. Therefore, all of this is a natural creation, a kudarati rachana, a natural creation. It has happened naturally. All of this is a natural happening. It's natural. It simply exists. I call it vyavasthit. It is not even a creation. It is simply scientific circumstantial evidence. This is a very subtle point. Next abiding, this cannot be called true moksha or liberation. Dada Shri says, even a little child says, God made this. A holy man, a saint will say, God made this. Now, this viewpoint is worldly, but it is not real viewpoint. This is a relative viewpoint. If God or Bhagavan was the creator, then he would perpetually become our boss and our upri, our superior, and then there would be no such thing as liberation or moksha. But there is moksha and liberation. God is not the creator of this world at all. People who understand moksha and people who have realized freedom will never accept God as a creator. Moksha and God as a creator are two contradictory statements. Creator means a permanent upkari, someone who does you a favor. And if God is an upkari or somebody who has done a favor on you, then you will always be indebted to him. As your creator, God will always be your boss, your upri, and you will always be his subordinate. Even when you go to the so-called final moksha, he will be there as your superior, will he not? Questioner replies, yes, he will be our superior permanently. Dada Shri then replies, yes, he becomes our permanent boss and therefore there is no moksha. Then moksha cannot be called moksha. Instead, you would prefer to have moksha, Dada Shri says, it's better to have liberation with your wife, moksha with your wife, enjoying her meals and sometimes even the insults that she serves. Even with insults, such a moksha is preferable to the one where there is permanent leader above you, a superior above you. Permanent superior above you. Next subheading, then, who made God? Dada Shri says, supposing we say that in reality, God has created this world, then logically people will come and ask the next logical question. Then who made God? So many different questions would arise then. People come and tell me, we think that God is the creator of this world, and you are saying that this is not the case, but it is difficult for us to accept this. At this time I ask them, if I accept that God is the creator and God is the doer of things, then who made this God? Who is the maker of this world? It is a simple and a logical statement. That there is a creator, then there has to be another creator of this creator. There would be no end to this. Therefore, such talk is really incorrect. Next heading. Neither a beginning nor an end of this world. This world is anadi anant. Anadi anant. Adi anadi. No beginning, no end. Adi anadi. Therefore, this has come all about without anybody creating it, says Dadashri. Nobody has created it. If nobody has created it, then who are we going to ask about it? I myself was searching for such a creator who took on such a liability and created this chaotic mess. I looked everywhere, but never found him anywhere. Then I asked these foreign scientists, discuss with me your evidence that God is the creator of this world. Then tell me in which year did he create this world? They replied, we don't know the year. Then I asked them, did the world have a beginning or not? They replied, yes, there is a beginning. When there is a creator, there has to be a beginning. If there is a beginning, there has to be an end. But this world carries on without an end. Therefore, there was no beginning and there is no end. Adnadi. If there is no beginning, there is no creator. Don't you think so? Now, the next subheading is God's correct address. Dadashir says, then these foreign scientists ask me, does that mean God does not exist? I replied, if God did not exist, then there would be no experience of feelings of pleasure or pain for anyone. Therefore, God is definitely there and does exist. Then they asked me, where does God live? And I asked, where do you think? They pointed up toward the sky. I asked, where up there? In the heavens? What is the precise address? Can you mail a letter to him? There is nobody up there. I have been everywhere. People say he is up there and point to the sky. I have checked everywhere up there. There is nobody up there, only the vast open sky. They then asked me, will you give us the correct address of God? And I replied, write down. God is in every creature, whether visible or invisible, not in creation. Dadashri goes on to say, this tape recorder is a creation of man. This object which is recording Dadashri's tape, the tape words in tape, is a creation of man. God does not exist in man-made things. God is nature, and God is present in things that are naturally created. God resides in every creature, whether visible or invisible. Between you and me there are infinite invisible creatures which cannot be seen with our eyes or with a microscope. God resides in all of them. What does he do? What is his job? He gives the light of knowledge to each and every living being. How to utilize that light of knowledge is up to you. Whether you perform good deeds like giving to charity or bad deeds, stealing something, you are doing so at your own risk and responsibility. You can use this light, for whatever purpose you want to. It is a wrong belief that God is up there, and that is why I have come to reveal all these wrong beliefs. Unless you clearly understand this, your confusion and puzzle, life problems, will continue. Traditional beliefs die hard. Supposing my sentence, God is or not up there, is incorrect. Do you think God will leave me alone? Who can utter such a serious statement? Only the person who has actually investigated this, seen it, and known it, knows it to be a fact can say something like this. Suppose I ask someone else to repeat my statement, he will refuse. He will be fearful of making such a statement. Therefore, it requires a brave person, a person free from fears, a person who is egoless, who is without any ego. Only such a person can make a statement like this. For such a person is completely free because such a person is completely free from, quote, my or mine. The speech of such a person is egoless, without any ego. He is not the owner of his speech. Such a person is without any sense of ownership of any kind. Then only such a statement can be made. If this person has even the slightest ego left, his speech would be ineffective. Next subheading. The world is a puzzle itself. The world is a puzzle itself. God has not created this puzzle. If God created this puzzle, then we would hold him accountable for all the sufferings all over the world. All the misery all over the world would fall in his lap. We would question him as to why he makes people suffer so much. But God has not created this puzzle. God is God. He is in a state of eternal bliss, and he always remains in this state of eternal bliss. Out of our ignorance, we accuse God, and this is our own mistake. This world has puzzled its own self. No one else has puzzled, or no one else has created this puzzle. The world has created and is involved in its own puzzle. If somebody insults you now, saying, Chandulal, you're stupid, don't you feel the beginning of the puzzle? Questioner replies, yes, Dada Shri. If someone, or if anyone insults me right now, it would not disturb me, for there are no puzzles that can arise. There is nothing obscuring my vision. And for you, this is not the case, because at the moment you are bound by the ropes of ignorance, which in Gujarati and Asian languages, in Sanskrit, is called Agnan. Questioner. Ask the question, so can this puzzle be solved for us? Dada Shri replies, there are two viewpoints to solve this puzzle. One, relative viewpoint, and one real viewpoint. Real is permanent and relative is temporary. All these relatives are temporary adjustments and you are permanent. Once you discover what is permanent, then this puzzle is solved. All these saints and people in search of God have not been able to solve this puzzle. Instead, they themselves have become further entangled in this puzzle, and many have been dissolved in this puzzle. I can help you solve this puzzle. I can do it for you in an hour. After which, after this hour, your puzzle will not arise again. Then there will be no situation which will disturb you. You only need to understand this world as it is. You don't even have to make the effort to memorize anything. Understand it just once, how it has come into existence, who is God, who is running this world, what is all this all about, what is our real nature and form. After knowing the answers to all of these, your puzzles will be solved forever. Next subheading is the topic of scientific circumstantial evidence. Dadashri says, therefore, let us continue this discussion. Ask whatever questions you need to know, so all your questions can be answered. Ask whatever questions that arise and you will come to know the answers. Questioner, I do not understand this issue of scientific circumstantial evidence. Dadashri, scientific circumstantial evidence is the basis for all of this, all the way down to a subatomic particle. Not even in a single molecule, not even a single molecule changes in this world. When you're about to sit down to dinner, do you know what you're going to be served? Even the person who prepares this food does not know what they will prepare tomorrow. What is it that brings this all together and makes it happen? Isn't that all a wonder? You don't even know how much you will be able to eat. All of this is exactly and very precisely adjusted down to a molecular level. Today, this meeting between you and I is also based solely on scientific circumstantial evidence. There are extremely subtle and incomprehensible causes for this. Find out what they are. Questioner, how do we find out these causes, Dada? Dadashri, in fact, whatever you do, you are not independent in your action. Even when you come here, you believe that I came here today. It is your wrong belief and egoism when you say, I came. I can ask you why you did not come yesterday, and you would point to your legs and say, so what are we to understand when you point to your legs? Questioner replies, that my feet were hurting. Dadashri says, yes, your feet were hurting. You blame your feet. Then your feet brought you here today, did your feet bring you here today? Or did you come here by yourself? It was my desire to come here, and questioner says, it was my desire to come here, and that is why I'm here, Dada. Dadashri, yes, because of your desire you came. But you were able to come here because your feet and everything else, all the other body organs were working very well. If your feet were not functioning well, would you have come? Questioner, then I would not have been able to come. Dadashri, thus, could you come on your own accord? For example, if a paralyzed man were to come here in a car, he would say, I came. But we say, oh, but your legs are paralyzed, so how did you come here? He would still insist that he came. Then I would ask him, Did you come or did the car bring you here? Then he would say, the car. So I would ask, if the gasoline was not there in the car then? Therefore, all your beliefs are so far away from reality. Your ability to come here is dependent upon so many different circumstances. A lot of circumstances have to be right and precisely exact for you to be able to come here. If you had a severe headache, you may have to go back even after arriving on time. If you yourself were truly independent and came down of your own accord, your headaches would have no effect upon your being here. If for some reason, on your way over here, someone were to meet you and insist on you accompanying him somewhere else, then you'd have not been able to be here. So many circumstances have to be just right in order for you to fulfill a task. Next heading, subheading is Principle of Convenience. So Dadashi says, so this is all scientific circumstantial evidences. Only when numerous circumstances come together, an event can take place. But you claim with egoism, I've done it. You take credit for things that turn out good and blame it on bad luck or others when things do not turn out as planned. Or some people blame it on negative circumstances, don't they? Questioner, yes. Dadashri. On earning money, he takes pride, but when he has a loss or failure, he gives an excuse or will say, God is displeased with me. Dadashri says, when one earns a lot of money, he takes pride, but when he suffers a loss, he will blame it on somebody else. Or you might say, God is displeased with me. Questioner, this is a convenient excuse. Dadashri then says, yes, convenient, but one should not accuse God for anything. It is okay if we accuse a lawyer or somebody else, but how can we accuse God? A lawyer can file a suit and claim damages, but who will file this suit? Such accusations cause terrible bondage in the next life. Can anyone accuse God? Questioner replies, no, Dadashri. Otherwise, they might even say, oh, my stars are not favorable, or my partner is a crook, or my daughter-in-law is cursed or inauspicious, and give a wide variety of such excuses and accusations, always avoiding ownership or acceptance of their own faults and mistakes. He will never accept his own faults. In this context, a foreigner, Dada says, once I remarked, why don't you Indians accept the blame for your own mistakes gracefully? And I said, that itself is the Indian puzzle. The biggest puzzle, if any, is this Indian puzzle. You'll not be able to solve it. They would never accept their own responsibility, and you, all foreigners, are very gracious about accepting your own faults and being held accountable for your errors. Next heading, contradiction in doership. Dadashri says, association of circumstances is called sanyog in Hindustani and Gujarati, sanyog in Hindustani and sanyog in Gujarati. Association of circumstances happens by itself, and dissociation is called Viyog, is also happening by itself. But it is the ego which takes credits for this. When a man earns money, he says, I earned. And when he suffers losses, he loses all confidence and despairs. What can I do? Or blame somebody else. Questioner. Yes, sometimes I say the same things. Dadashri. If you are the doer, then you will never say, what can I do? Let us take a simple example of the process of making kadhi, which is a common Gujarati soup that common soup that Gujarati folks like to eat, kadhi. Now, if the kadhi is tasting good, then the person who prepared it will say, I made it. If it spills during the cooking process, then she will say, what can I do? The children were bothering me, the phone was ringing, or the flame on the stove was too high, etc. Why this excuses? I came to understand that everybody talks like this. When a doctor treats a patient and he gets well, the doctor will claim, I saved the patient. But if the patient dies, then he will say, what can I do? Why make such baseless statements? Next subheading is on page 24 of the book of Who Am I? This is the audiobook recording of Who Am I? Did you wake up or were you awakened? Is the subheading. Now Dadashri is saying, if you wake up early in the morning, then you will say, woke up. What makes you think that you are able to wake up early? At night, when you cannot sleep, then you will say, I cannot sleep. If you yourself have control over your sleep, then why can't you go to sleep whenever you desire? In reality, you have no control whatsoever. If someone asks, who woke me up in the morning? Then I will tell him, you woke up because your sleep time was over. That karma of sleep was over and so you woke up. Your karma woke you up. You have control over anything. Next subheading is what is within your realm and power? You have never eaten, have you? All the food is consumed by Chandulal and you believe in your mind that you're eating. Chandulal eats and Chandulal goes to the bathroom and you are trapped in this for no reason. Do you understand this? Dadashri asks all of us. Questioner says, please explain. Dadashri then goes on to explain, no man has ever been born who has the independent willpower even to go to the toilet. If he does not have the independent power over his own bowel movements, then what other power can he have? As some events happen according to his wishes, he starts believing that he is in control of everything. But when the events do not take place according to his plans, then he will realize that something else is controlling them and he is beyond the ability to have any control. Dadashri says, I had satsang in Baroda with a group of physicians who were trained overseas. When I asked them, do you have the independent will and power to go to the toilet? And these doctors were really taken aback by this. I went on, you will realize this when you become constipated. At that time, you will have to rely on external help, like visiting a doctor or taking a laxative. You've never had the power in the first place, and therefore you have to take help. For anything that you need help means it is not under your independent control. It is through your wrong belief that you consider natural power, which is the kudrati shakti, this natural energy, as your own power. To call somebody else's power as your own power is the illusion. It is the wrong belief. It is the Bhrant belief in Gujarati. It is the wrong belief. It is the wrong understanding. Do you understand what I am trying to say? Is it a little more clearer now? Questioner replies, yes, I understand. Dadashri, if you understand even this much, you are close to the level of coming to solve this puzzle. All these people claim, I did this much penance, this much mantra, this much repetition of mantra, this much fasting, this much renunciation, all this is wrong belief. But still the world will continue to remain like this and is never going to be without ego, ahamkar, I am, Chandulal. This is its nature, is it not? Next subheading is It Happens, Dadashri. Therefore, whatever is happening, is it happening because of our authority or control or energy, or does it just happen? Questioner replies, it happens by itself. Dadashri, yes, all of this continues to happen. When you wake up in the morning, it just happens. When you drink tea, it just happens. When you go to the toilet, it just happens. When you sleep, it just happens. All these things, do they just happen, or are you making them happen? Questioner replies, they just happen by themselves. Dadashri, if you are working at a job, does it happen, or are you doing it? Questioner replies, it happens. Dadashri, yes, so in this world, it happens. This is what the world is all about. Things and events just happen. But people say, I am doing it. I went to the toilet. I did it. I did this. I earned this money. When something is happening by itself and we say that I am doing it, then we are creating new karma, new cause which sows seeds for karma effects in the next life. And if you stop creating or charging or sowing the seeds of new karmas for the life, then you will be freed. But one cannot stop creating new causes without gnan or knowledge of the self. Next heading. Doership is equal to prakriti and non-doership is equal to atma or the self. Dadashri says, I have called all human beings in this world tops, T-O-P-S. Dadashri uses this terminology for the top is a toy that children play by pulling a string around this toy which is wound tightly around this top toy, and then the string is released suddenly, and as the top is thrown, so the top spins on its end and all energy is dissipated. And these tops are usually colorful and children play with them. In this example, the winding of the string is the cause, or called the bhav purusharth, the cause for the next life, and the spinning is the prarabdh, or the effect or the result of the cause. So prakriti is making him dance, Dadashri says, in his life. All the running around and moving about in life is called the dance. But what he would say is, I am dancing. But in fact, he's like a puppet. Prakriti makes him do the penance, the tap, the jap, the repetition of the mantras, the dhyan, the meditation, the yoga. But he believes that he is doing it. He believes that he is the doer. Questioner then asks, tell us about prakriti, please. P-R-A-K-R-U-T-I. Prakriti is Gujarati. Prakriti, P-R-A-K-R-I-T-I, is in Hindi. Prakriti. This is the complex of the formed thought, speech and actions that arises in front of the self is called prakriti. Dadashri then replies, the moment you claim to be the doer, the karta, the doer, prakriti comes into existence. As the soul, the self, you are the non-doer. You have a wrong belief that you are Chandulal. Your wrong belief is, I am Chandulal, I am George, I am Bill, I am John, I am Mary. This is the wrong belief. And along with this wrong belief is the associated belief that I am the doer and I did all this. At that instance, the moment you are in the wrong belief, the prakriti binds you because of this wrong belief. As long as there is ignorance of the real I, the self, you feel that you are the doer and thus you are bound by your prakriti. As soon as you cease to be the doer, you are free of prakriti, this complex of thought, speech and actions, and thus new karma cease to be charged for the next life. They no longer bind you, and the only the old discharging karma remain. The next subheading is doership. And of two types, karta and naimitik doership, instrumental doership, and real doership. Questioner, really speaking, if he is not the doer, then who is the doer? What is the nature of the doer, Dada? Dada Shri replies, it's like this. His doership is instrumental in the process. He is merely one of the evidences. However, he himself is not the independent doer of anything. This instrumental doership is known as naimitik kartapanu, naimitik, nimit, can be further defined as a parliamentary process where you have the final decision based on collective votes, but each individual has only one vote. Thus, your vote is one of the many in the final outcome. But you believe that I am doing this, so you become the doer. In this way, the planning that is happening through the inner intent called Bhav Purusharth occurs. You are the planner. The doership is only in the planning. This is a fact unknown to the whole world. The doership is only in the planning. It's so subtle. It is the inner intent. The output of this small computer, that is called the Chandulal, in worldly terms, goes in as input into the giant computer, which is the scientific circumstantial evidence called Vyavasthit Shakti. And then the result, that is the current life, comes off the giant computer as an effect. The discharge in the current life is the result of causes created in the past or previous life. The discharge is the effect of the current life, and the causes were created in the past life. The entire events of the current life from birth till death are effects. They are otherwise called discharge, and nothing in this current life is under your control. Once the planning is done, then it is out of the planner's hands and falls under the control of the hands of the others, which in this case is the scientific circumstantial evidences, which Dada gives the name of Vyavasthit Shakti. These other hands play a part in giving the result. So the results may be different from what was planned. Do you understand this? This is a very subtle point. Questioner replies, yes, I do understand it. Next subheading, page 28, doership causes karma. Dadashri says, feel free to ask anything, any kind of questions. Whatever it is that you want to understand, ask your questions. Will you be able to understand and learn it all? This science is worth understanding. Here you can ask anything and everything. So then the questioner asks, how can we escape from the bondage of karma? How can we escape from the effects of causes and effects, life after life, cause in one life, effect in the other life, cause in one life, effect in the other life? Dadashri replies, these karmas exist because of the belief of doership. Because the belief of doership exists, these karma exists. The existence of these karmas is directly dependent upon doership. There is no doership in the pure I state, shuddha, pure, absolute state of the I, the self. And so there are no karma there. Karma can only be created if there is the doer. As Chandulal, when you say and believe and behave as I did this, then you become the doer, and therefore you become the sufferer of the karmas that are created. The next subheading is the self or the atma and the non-self, which is the anatma, become one through ignorance. Dadashri says, atma and anatma, the self and all that is the non-self, are all, the non-self here is non-S capital, because that which is not the self is the small self, the worldly body with thought, speech and actions. So atma and anatma are two totally different entities, the soul and the non-soul. They have not become one, but they are stuck to each other. How? With false interest, a sweet juice is created through the ignorance, and this leads to doership. There is this false interest called Bhranti Ras, the interest in the non-self has arisen because of the lack of awareness of who am I. Where did this Bhranti Ras come from, this false interest? The moment you say that I did it, and a sweet juice is created that binds atma and anatma. This rus, this particular essence, or this sweet juice, is so sticky, even if it has not aged or matured, it will not come off. Just imagine how strong this bond can become due to this false sense of doership over a period of infinite lives. Now, Agnani Purush can dissolve or melt away all this false sense of interest and separate Atma and Anatma, the self and the non-self. The self remains as the natural state, and the anatma, which is otherwise known as the non-self, and in Gujarati is known as pudgal, the intake and output complex, remains in its natural state. What is the feeling of I am the doer and I am the knower? When the feeling of I am the knower and I am the doer are together, then the illusion arises. This is called Bhranti Ras. And when I am the knower and the seer, and not the doer remains, then there is no illusion. Right now you believe I am Chandulal. So I and my have become one. However, as I have told you, I and my are separate entities. Through the science of the separation, which is called the Gnan Vidhi, through the Gnani can separate I and my. After this, the real you, the I, does nothing. It is Chandulal who has to do everything. Chandulal is part of the my complex, he is separated from, and the I is separated and remains separate. Now the next subheading is, what is the Gnan Vidhi, or the ceremony? Question, what is Gnan Vidhi, Dada? And Dadashri replies, Gnan Vidhi is the experiment to separate I, the pure soul, the Atma, and my, the Pudgal, the complex of intake and output. It is the separation of these two. Gnan Vidhi is the experiment, the scientific experiment to separate I and my. It is the separation of these two. Questioner then asks, this is the correct principle, but what is the exact method? And Dadashri says, we do not have any method. There is nothing like that here. You do not have to, you just have to sit and repeat exactly what I say. This is a 2-hour experiment to know exactly who am I. For 48 minutes, you have to loudly repeat the sentences. Of separation of the self and the non-self. After this, you are given the 5 agnas. You are explained 5 agnas with appropriate examples. These agnas are instructions on how to live the rest of your life so that no new karma are created and the old karmas are let go and the old karmas are left alone to be discharged and exhausted. These agnas sustain you in the state of the self. Now, this Dadashri, in response to the exact method, has simply said that we do not have any method. There is nothing like that here. All you have to do is to sit and repeat exactly what I state. The rest that was said above has been a description of the whole process given subsequently by others. Now, the next subheading is need for a guru. Questioner is then asking, what do I do if one has another guru? What am I supposed to do if I have another guru and I revere another guru before I met you, Dada? What should I do? And so Dadashri replies, you may go to the guru. If you do not want to go to the guru, it is not a must. It is not a necessity. If you want to go, you may go. Dadashri says further, you should go because your absence will cause him unhappiness. You should go to the guru. You must respect the guru. After taking Gnan, which is this knowledge of the self, from me, some people ask me, shall we leave and forsake the previous guru? And then I tell them, no, you should not. You have reached here. You have come to this level of spiritual attainment with the help of that guru. With the help of a guru, man can live a clean and pure life. You can also tell your guru, I have met a Gnani Purush. I am going for his darshan. Darshan here means I am going to see him and really look at him and let my inner awareness unfold by looking at him. Many people even bring their gurus to me. The guru wants moksha. The term guru here is the spiritual master. Now, one cannot get the knowledge of total liberation, which is called the final moksha, without a Gnani. Worldly life is relative and Atma Gnan is real. Worldly life is relative and Atmagnan is real. You need a guru for the relative and you need a Jnani Purush for the real. A relative guru is not going to be able to give you the knowledge of the self. He may talk about it, but he will not have the capacity to make you realize the self. Now, the next heading is, what is the nature of moksha? What is total liberation? And this is the new chapter, chapter number 7 on page 30 of the book, Who Am I?, which is the cardinal satsang with Jnani Purush Dada Shri that was recorded and subsequently made into Gujarati books and English translations, and the audio, this is the audio book of the English translation. The books in Gujarati have been compiled and edited by Dr. Niruben Amin, who continues the work of the Jnani Purush Dada Shri. Now, the next heading here, subheading is, only this goal is worth having. Questioner then asks, what goal must a human being have? What is the goal of human life, Dada? And Dada Shri replies, freedom should be the only goal. Only this goal is worth having. Do you want permanent happiness? Or do you want temporary happiness? Are you desiring bliss, the kind that never leaves, or are you interested in transient happiness? How long do you want to keep wandering aimlessly? You have done only this for infinite previous lives. You have not left any place to wander. You have wandered aimlessly between different life forms, like animal kingdom, human form, and celestial heavenly forms. Why do you have to suffer such aimless wanderings? This is because you have not known your true identity. You have not known the answer to the eternal question, who am I? Should you not know this? Despite your extensive wanderings of countless lives, you do not know who you really are. Is making money your only pursuit in life? Should you not be making a little attempt towards liberation and understanding the true nature of all this? The questioner then replies, yes, efforts should be made. Effort here means purushartha, the true independent effort. And then the other replies, so there is a need to be totally independent. How long can you be in such bondage and dependency on things that are beyond your control? Then the questioner replies, one does not have to be totally free, but one should understand the importance for total liberation. This is what I believe, Dada. Dada Shri says, yes, but this understanding is necessary. Once you understand this, you have attained a lot, even if you are not totally liberated. Whether you can become totally liberated or not, and attain final moksha, which is called nirvana, is a secondary matter. Now, the next heading is, there is no effort in attaining your real nature. There is no effort in attaining your real nature. Dada Shri now says, moksha is to attain your real nature. Moksha is to come to the self. This is called svabhav. And sansar, or worldly wandering, is to go opposite to your nature. What is easier? To be in your real state, your real nature, or to be away from your real nature? And the answer is clearly to be in your real nature. Attaining moksha should not be difficult. The sansar, or the worldly wanderings, are always more difficult. Moksha is easier than preparing khichdi, which is a common food item for Gujaratis who mix rice and lentils together and cook it and eat it. It's called khichdi. To prepare khichdi, you need many ingredients like rice, lentils, spices, vegetables, water, vessel, fuel, stove, and fillings. Thereafter, khichdi is prepared. And for moksha or liberation, all you need is a Gnani Purush. Then your work is done. You have to be graced by a Gnani, a bestower of freedom, a moksha data, the liberator, the liberating enlightened Lord, to attain moksha. Otherwise, it is impossible to attain moksha, even in many, many future lives to come. In fact, without a Gnani Purush, moksha is impossible. Now, the next subheading is called Moksha is Effortless. Adashri says, I am saying this, come to me and attain moksha through Gnana, knowledge of the self. Then people start doubting, how can anybody else give us moksha without our own efforts? Very well then, go ahead and try it on your own efforts. With efforts, you will not find anything. Nobody has ever attained moksha through effort. Questioner, is it possible to give moksha or take it? In other words, to liberate others or to get liberated through somebody else? And the other, she says, moksha is not something that you give or take, but you need an instrument, a nimit, a scientific circumstantial evidence like a Gnani Purush, because and here a Gnani becomes your instrument in the process of acquiring your liberation, your moksha. Your meeting me is also a naimittik process and one of the evidences. There is no giver and there is no taker of moksha. What is the definition of a giver? If you give something that to you, then you are called a giver. When you give something to someone, you are actually relinquishing the possession. Moksha, however, is your birthright. I am just an instrument in the process. I am just instrumental in making you aware of your real self through this Gnan, the knowledge of self-realization. I am a mere instrument. I am simply a nimit. I cannot give you something that is already yours. I am not the giver and you are not the taker. Now, the next subheading is moksha means eternal happiness. Questioner, what shall I do after attaining moksha? The Adashri replies, some people tell me I do not want moksha. I would say, fair enough. Moksha is not a necessity. Moksha, by the way, is liberation. Moksha is not a necessity, but do you not want to be happy? They say very readily, yes, they want to be completely happy. I would then reply, very well then, let's talk about happiness and leave this talk of moksha alone. People do not understand the real nature of moksha. They use the word moksha in vague terms. People are of the impression that there is a location of moksha. Once you reach there, you will get moksha, but it is not like that. Next subheading is called The Two Stages of Moksha. Questioner, ordinarily, moksha, we mean release or freedom from the cycles of repetitive birth and death. Dadashri says, yes, it is true. But that is the final stage. Here, in the first stage of moksha, the problems and the miseries of this world cease to bother you or affect you in any way whatsoever. If you are insulted, you are insulated. You are insulated or protected from the three kinds of sufferings. These three kinds of sufferings are adi, which is physical suffering, mental sufferings called vyadi, and upadi, which is the suffering that arises because it is externally induced by others or external factors. To make a correction, physical suffering is vyadi, mental suffering is adi, and upadi is externally induced suffering. Anyway, these three types of sufferings are there, and with the first stage of moksha, you are insulated and protected from these three different kinds of suffering. Therefore, in the first stage, you become free from any pain or pleasure under any circumstances. I experience this first stage of moksha all the time, says Dadashri. I live amongst the worldly beings and things, but they do not affect me in any way. The second stage of moksha happens when you leave this body and you become free from the cycles of birth and death. Here you should strive, here in this world, you should strive to attain the first stage of moksha, where nothing of this world will affect you. This stage of moksha is possible only through akram vignan, A-K-R-A-M, akram vignan, V-I-G-N-A-N, the science of akram. And the answers to this particular entity, akram vignan, will come later on in this book. Now the next subheading is experiencing moksha while living daily life. Questioner: is such freedom or moksha experience while living or is it only possible after death? Freedom while living is called jivan mukti, and freedom after death of this body is called nirvana. So now Dadashri replies, what is the point of having freedom after you are dead? This is how people get trapped by being conned into promises of moksha after death. You need to be able to experience or get a taste of it right here and now. Otherwise, how can one be sure whether there is such a thing as moksha? Moksha after death is like borrowed moksha. One cannot depend upon things that are borrowed. You need to have the moksha in your hands, like hard cash. You should be able to experience this moksha while you're alive. You should be able to experience the moksha like King Janak, Janak Raja. Janak Raja was in such a state. Lord Janak was the father of Queen Sita, the wife of Rama, and Lord Janak, King Janak, was a jivan mukta. He was free while living his worldly life. Questioner then replies, yes, I have heard that. The next subheading is, who achieves moksha? Questioner asks, therefore, who is it that is trying to achieve moksha? Who is it that is being freed from these bondages? Dadashri replies, it is the ego, the ahankar, that is released through moksha. It is the one that is bound, and the one who suffers that gets released. It is the one that is bound, the ego, that is the one which is released. The one who is bound is the one who suffers, and that is the one which gets released. The self, the atma, is in moksha all the time. It is the one that is bound that suffers from the pain of bondage, and that one, the ego, is searching for mukti or liberation. It is the ego that is suffering the bondage and is searching for liberation. As long as there is ignorance, the ego cannot be released. It is only through the presence and the grace of Ajnapurush that the veil of ignorance is lifted, and it is only then that the ego attains moksha. Now the next question, next subheading is, only Jnana or the knowledge of the self, real knowledge, destroys all miseries and sufferings. Dadashri says this whole world is trapped in suffering. What kind of suffering? It is the suffering that stems from ignorance. All the suffering in this world is because of ignorance. It is due to this ignorance that attraction and abhorrence, rag and dvesh, take place continuously, and as a consequence, suffering is experienced. Only Jnana, that is the knowledge of the self, can cure this suffering. There is no other way or solution. Jnana insulates you from suffering. Chapter 8 of the book Who Am I by Dadashri, the Jnani Purush, compiled and edited by Atmagnani Dr. Niruben Amin. The heading of this chapter is, what is Akram Marg? Marg means path. What is the Akram science in the spiritual path? Now the next subheading is, extraordinary powers, otherwise known as Siddhi, of Akram Vignan. And the questioner then asks, but is it possible to live in this worldly life called sansar and yet attain Atmagnan, self-realization, so easily? And Dadashri replies, yes, there is such a way. Not only by being in this worldly life, but even when you live with your wife, you can be self-realized. You can live and perform your worldly duties, like getting your children married. You can go to the movies, wear beautiful clothes, eat your favorite food. And even while doing all this, Atmagnan, or the knowledge of the self, is attainable. I assure you this. Do you need any more guarantees? And the questioner replies, then it is easy. If I can have that kind of freedom, then I think it's easy to do. Dadashri, all the freedom you want. This path to the self, Atmagnan, is a shortcut. It's a diversion path. It's a different path. It's called the Akram path. It's the lift, the elevator path. It does not involve any steps. You don't have to make any effort to realize the self. I will give you yourself, the Atma, in your hands, and then you can enjoy the bliss from the experience of the self. This, you will not only create, you will not create any new bondage of, and you will not create any new karmas for the next life. You will bind karmas for only one life, and this is because you are following my instructions, otherwise known as my Agna, A-G-N-A. I give you this Agna to protect you from any deviations or obstacles in your path, once you having realized the self. Now the questioner then asks, is there another life for me after this Gnan, the knowledge of the self? And thus she says, you've had a past life and you will also have a future one too. This Gnan, this knowledge is such that it bestows on you final liberation in one or two more lifetimes. First comes the freedom from ignorance. Then comes the final moksha, or the liberation, after one or two lifetimes. Everybody will have to take minimum one more life time because of this Kali Yuga, which is called Kali Yuga, because of this current era of the time cycle, and the current one is the fifth era of the descending half of the time cycle, called Kali Yuga, which is, this Kali Yuga is generally characterized by discordance in thought, speech and actions. So traditional spiritual practice is not possible. So come back to me again. We set a date for the Gnanvidhi, Dadashri says. And the Gnanvidhi is the specific ceremony where the Gnani imparts Gnan. The Gnani is the enlightened one, and imparting Gnan means others are enlightened in that Gnanvidhi. Now, during the Gnanvidhi, Dadashri says, I cut the ropes of ignorance that have kept you bound for infinite lives. Then immediately you will realize that you are free. After this, you will experience ultimate freedom. All you need to realize is the awareness that you are indeed absolutely free. This process of self-realization is not a gimmick. It is very experiential and real. What happens in the Gnanvidhi, Dadashri asks us? During the Gnanvidhi, the fire of knowledge, which is otherwise known as Gnan Agni, destroys two of the three different kinds of karmas. There are three levels of karmas, and these are analogous to the form of steam, the form of water, and the form of ice. During the Gnanvidhi, the first two types of karmas, the steam and the water types, are destroyed. One feels immediately light and elated, and his awareness is established. The awareness of the self is established forever in the Gnanvidhi. The awareness of the self is the awareness of the awakened one, and this is otherwise known as Jagruti. The only karma then remain are those that are in the form of ice. You have to suffer the effects of these karma, whether they are good or bad. In addition to this, I have also shown you the way to minimize any suffering through the daily prayers. These prayers are Dada Bhagavan Na Asim Jai Jai Karho, then three mantra, then the nine priceless sentences, the early morning Pratah Vidhi, the process of Pratikraman, and then the salutations to the pure self in others. Now, these others, there are mentioned, the vidhis that are worth doing after self-realization, are all in the latter portion of this book. This book of Who Am I, which is a 100-page which is a 79-page book, which is now being which is now being recorded in audio version, and you are participating in the satsang with the Gnani Purush Dadashri. We are on page 36 of the 79-page book, and these prayers and these instructions from the Gnani are given at the end of the book in the appendix section, and will be recorded when you